Amen. Father, we commit this meeting, this time of fellowship, into your hand. May you bless this meeting for your own glory. Amen. Amen. We have time until 12, right? Okay. Let's turn to the outline today. In this part, God pronounces judgment on the nations surrounding Jerusalem. You have to realize that why is it that God will judge this nation in particular? Because the goal of these nations is to destroy Jerusalem, God's plan and God's kingdom. They want to get rid of whatever God is doing today. Just like in the old days, they want to destroy Israel, and even up to this day. And don't think the enemy will not stop or will stop trying to destroy the church. Okay, we are naive if we think that the enemy will leave us alone. No, definitely not. Just like the nations in this world will not leave Israel alone. And the spiritual enemies, principalities and powers, the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, and all the prince of darkness, right? And the rulers of this world, they are not going to leave us alone. Just remember that. Right? I always say, Lord, preserve me from being used by the enemy to destroy your work. I would rather not be here on this earth. Right? God's work and God's testimony, his kingdom, his building, will be challenged by the gates of Hades. No wonder the Lord says, I will build my church, which is Zion, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That means the building that God is doing today is a challenge to the whole power of darkness. Many times we are naive. We think the building of the church is so simple. So simple it is not. No. In a way, it is impossible without him.
Yes.
Without the Lord, it is absolutely impossible to build up the heavenly Zion. So do not be naive and don't think it is easy. And then if the Lord has started it, you better learn to treasure it and not to let anything touch it or destroy it, especially our flesh and ourself. Right? We all need to treasure what the Lord is doing today. Right? May the Lord have mercy on us. The church that he is building is the apple of his eyes. Right? But unfortunately, it usually is not the outward nations that will destroy the church, but the enemy is usually from the inside, within us, that will destroy. Right? And then the Lord will use the outside to come and finish the job. It's usually the people themselves, God's people themselves, who started it, turning away from the Lord and doing all kinds of things that is offending him and refuse to turn. So then God will have to call and hiss all the bees and all the flies and the mosquitoes, all the locusts, all the outward nations to come and destroy Israel. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Right? Now, the reason why I make this outline is to make it very clear to all the saints to draw out all the essence. Otherwise you'll be reading and reading and you get lost, because there's so many things and many points in Isaiah. So now, A and B is very important. Because these two are standing out in God's judgment, particularly in God's judgment. You have to realize God is building His city, right? Zion, Jerusalem, heavenly city, the city of the living God. And God builds only one. But Satan builds many, but particularly two that he would use to really trap and destroy God's people. Number one is Jerusalem. Why do we say that Babylon has something to do with religion? Because we really see that it was Babylon that God used to destroy Jerusalem directly and to capture God's people and brought them into Jerusalem. Right? And also all the vessels of the temple in Jerusalem was taken away and put into the temple of their idols. So Babylon is especially in the Bible referring to religion. In Isaiah chapter 13 to 14, and of course if you read on, and there are many more verses, but we just leave it there, right? Babylon is talking about religion, and this is confirmed by Revelation chapter 17. Babylon, that great harlot, right? The mother of harlots. And the description is definitely an exact description of the mother, the Roman Catholic Church. I hate to call it church, but I'll call it Roman Catholicism. Since when did a church, so to speak, become Roman? Right? The church would be heavenly, built by Christ, not by the Romans. Right? So here you can see the first judgment mentioned here is Babylon. Then the judgment on Tyre is the last, first and the last, right? Alpha and Omega. So the last mention is Tyre, the last but not the least. Tyre refers to the commercial world. In Isaiah 23 and 24, you can really read Tyre is the capital of commerce in the ancient world. Tyre is the commercial world. Commerce. Economy, we call it today. Right? Without economy, the whole world will collapse. If you take away economy today, what will happen to this world? Huh? Chaos. The world, the whole world will collapse. Right? In other words, money. Mammon of unrighteousness. Right? The whole world today is concentrating on the economy. Once the economy collapses, the whole country will collapse. So economy is a power in this world. Don't think politics is a power. At the end, you can really see it all comes down to money. Right? There's a saying here in the Philippines, right? What talks? Everybody knows that. My goodness. You know these proverbs very well. Money talks. Right? So, commerce. Tyre is the city built up especially by the enemy to trap us. And it's very important we come right to the point. Both the king of Babylon and also the king of Tyre portrays and exposes Satan, the very source, the hidden source, the real king of Babylon, the real king of Tyre, ruling over this religion, what he is building up, right? And also the commercial world today. Behind it is the very Satan himself, the prince of this world. So that is why we need to see why God would really judge these two particular cities. A very strong city is built up by the enemy. If you don't know the world, don't know the Lord, you don't love the Lord, you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so Satan has something good for you. That is the world. You have no other choice. Okay, either if you love the Lord, one day you are saved, Satan says, okay, I cannot prevent this guy from being saved, and he's starting to love the world, Satan invented a city called Babylon, religion. So you'll end up in religion. And you have a heart to serve the Lord? Oh, what should you do? Study theology. Go to a cemetery. I'm a seminary. I always have a hard time pronouncing cemetery and cemetery. They sounded very much alike. Right? Cemetery, seminary. Sound very much alike. It was always hard for me to separate both. Yeah, so you should bear with me. If I say cemetery, I mean seminary. I mispronounce. So if you want to serve God, they send you to seminary. Seminary. Yeah, I got it right now, right? Send you to seminary. And then you learn a set of teachings, doctrines, and especially money raising. That is a very important course in a cemetery. In a seminary. Money raising, you should learn that. Because with money raising is more exact, right? Money. Without money, religion will collapse. Right? So you should really see today, right, this Babylon is a very subtle city built up by the enemy. To save time, we don't have to read it, but you have the verses there. And so how God is going to judge Babylon? He will use Persian armies led by Cyrus. Later on, we're going to see King Cyrus. Yeah, Cyrus is chosen by God to destroy Babylon. Amen. Praise the Lord. And to release God's people and send them back to Jerusalem. I love King Cyrus. He's a very good king. But it is very important this morning to see why judgment of Babylon is very important, because God is going to judge Satan, Lucifer. And here, especially in Isaiah chapter 14, talking about judgment of Babylon, let's just take a quick look. And all of the young people have to realize this. Isaiah chapter 14, God gave us a hint concerning the origin of Satan. And this is very important to know why Satan, by the Lord, was addressed as the ruler of this world. So you, if you read the Bible, you need to ask the question, why does the Lord call him the ruler of this world, the prince of this world? Since when did he become a prince? Right? Since when did this guy, Satan, become the ruler of the world? And when did he become Satan? And how did he become Satan? God certainly did not create Satan. Right? So we need to really see what happened. So, in Isaiah chapter 14, concerning the judgment of the king of Babylon, it says here, let's start with verse 12. All of a sudden, from talking about the king of Babylon, the Lord began to expose Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven. From heaven. Can you imagine? Is the king of Babylon in heaven at that time? Nebuchadnezzar, right? Was he from heaven? No, he was not. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. All of a sudden his name appeared in verse 12. He's a day star, meaning to say a shining morning star. He's the brightest star, so to speak. And the angels in the Old Testament days are called stars. They're stars. And here, son of the morning, this name Lucifer, light bearer. This is why there is the Illuminatis today, right? This name Illuminatis, it comes from the word light, to illuminate. Light. Yes. And it comes, the very source of that name is right here. Right? How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will also sit on the throne. Right? Sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest side of the north. The north is up there. South is down there. You don't say, I'm going up south. You always say, I'm going down south and going up north. So north is up. And the farthest north is upper than the uppermost part. This is where God dwells. Right? So Zion, the city on the north. Right? So you can really see here how Satan, through pride, don't be proud. Proud, to be proud, pride, arrogance, it is the sickness of Satan. That's the first thing that God hates. I will ascend. I will exalt my throne. I will sit on a mount of congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. My goodness. How many eyes? We need to be afraid of that I. How many eyes are here today? Right? I wonder why we always capitalize I. I've never seen anyone writing I, a small I. Maybe from now on, all of us, when we write something in a letter or something, I, you just write a small I with a little dot on top. That's what we really are. We are not so great. If you think you're great, you're in trouble. You are being affected by this original sickness. I will do this. I did this. Look what I have accomplished. Look how able and capable I am. Don't you know I build all the churches? Don't you know I am the head worker? I am the apostle. Oh, goodness sake. It reminded you and I from someone right here in Isaiah chapter 14. And he is the originator of this great city, Babylon. Babylon the Great. Religion. So beware of religion. Right? If you ask me, how do I define religion today? Oh, don't say it's Roman Catholicism. Yes, it is. But it's worse. It's more subtle. Roman Catholicism is easy to identify. Right? But Paul, at that time, when he talked about religion, he defined it differently because Roman Catholicism did not exist yet. And remember, when it exists and John the Apostle saw it, he was really amazed, with great amazement. How come the churches became like that? He was greatly, greatly surprised. Right? But today, for us, it seems normal, right? If you say, oh yeah, there's a church there. Oh, there's another church there. Oh, that's a new church here. For you, it's normal. It should be a horror to you. What? Another division? What? Another daughter born of that mother of harlot? It depends on how you see it. People will get mad if you say that, okay. But I don't care if they're mad. They better get mad at God, not at me, because it's written here. And the one that is fully behind it, hidden behind it, is this guy called Lucifer. Satan himself. Right? And so you, the Lord says, shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. This is what will happen to all those who want to be like him and who are his worshippers. Today in the state, it is fully exposed. This name Luciferian. You know, I have not heard this name 10 years ago. John, have you heard this name 10 years ago, Luciferian? 5 years ago, even hardly. But in the last 2-3 years, all of a sudden this name, Luciferian, become well known. And most all of Hollywood are worshippers. Many of the politicians, many of the celebrities, you'd be surprised. And they're not ashamed to even use this name. They're not even ashamed to say, I'm one of them. I'm a worshiper. I sold my soul. Hey, you want to have a millionaire lifestyle? The fastest way is to worship that guy here. This guy. I don't even want to mention his name. This terrible guy here. Yeah, you'll be surprised. And this is what's happening today. Right? And judgment is pronounced on Babylon. Not just because it is Babylon. Of course, it is also the reason. But mainly and foremost because the one who is behind it all and building it up, especially to destroy Jerusalem, That's why at the very end in the Bible you have Babylon in chapter 17 and Jerusalem in chapter 21. At the end you have these two cities. Which one do you choose? Ask them. You want Babylon the Great or the holy city Jerusalem? You want to be great? You cannot be holy. You want to be holy? You cannot be great. Choose one. You cannot be greatly holy. You cannot combine holiness and greatness together. You want to be great? You cannot be holy. Impossible. Yep. Babylon the Great, with many daughters, mother and many daughters, and the one behind it is that guy by the name of this Lucifer. It's not very good. That's why you all need to be wise and to know the Word of God, to know that judgment is pronounced there, right? And then Tyre. Let's go to Ezekiel, of course. The last one is in Isaiah chapter 23, but let us jump and go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Yeah. These two chapters are very special because it exposes the origin of Satan even more clearly stated here in Ezekiel chapter 28. Talking about Tyre. And remember, Tyre is the commercial world, economic world, business world, we call it today. It makes you busy. That's why it's called busyness. Yeah, the word business comes from busyness. If you're not busy, you cannot make money. If you want to make money, you're very busy. So at the end, you have no time for God. You are enslaved in your busyness. So, still love your business? Morning till evening, you are very busy, not for God. Right. So, your mind, your whole heart is involved in that. And remember, whatever is connected to busyness or business is covetousness. And covetousness is idolatry. Paul says in Colossians. The idols today is not just that bald-headed guy there, with a big fat stomach, sitting there doing nothing, right? No. It is a little piece of paper with somebody's picture in it. Yeah. That will become the modern day idol today because it captures your heart. Covetousness. And actually, many of those who worship idols, they don't believe that is God, right? But they just want to get rich. The only thing they worship is that little crazy bald-headed sculpture. Is because they want a blessing in their business. They want to be rich. The very bottom of it is Tyre, money. They want to get rich. And no wonder today in the New Testament days, money, covetousness is idolatry. Remember that. Now, here, concerning 28, chapter 28. Just quickly, in the very beginning, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre. because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a God and I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God, right? And you said, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. Your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. You gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in trade. Sounds familiar?
Uh-huh.
You don't understand the Bible, but you understand trade. Right? When you read the Bible, I don't understand. But when it comes to business, oh, you're the wisest man on earth. Yep, by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. And your heart is lifted up because of your riches. My, today all the rich men think they are somebody when they are really nobody. Yeah. So, we should be thankful. We just have enough to live and that's good enough. That's what Paul says. Right? Anyway, I don't want to get into that this morning. I'm into judgment. Okay. But you have to know what Satan is using today and why Tyre is specially judged by God. And because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers against you. There's going to be judgment. The most terrible of the nations, they shall draw their sword against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. And they shall throw you down into the pit. Again, the pit is mentioned here. Right? Will you still say before him who slays you, I am a god? Etc. Right? So here you can really say, Son of man, verse 12, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were a seal of perfection. Now it is talking about Satan. When he was created as a beautiful archangel, the head of the angels. He was a cherubim, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That was definitely not a description of the king of Tyre. You were in Eden, the garden of God. The king of Tyre was not there. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. All of these precious stones, right, was prepared for you. The workmanship of your timbrel and pipes, all prepared for you on the day you were created. Now, verse 14, you were the anointed cherub. He was a cherub. Cherub, an angel for the glory of God. Right? You were the anointed cherub who covers. You remember the covering of the ark of the testimony, the two cherubims, right? To protect actually the glory of God, so to speak. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. And you walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stone. Of course, that is not the king of Tyre. He couldn't have been up there, right? You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. So don't be proud. Especially if you're successful. You think you are wonderful. Don't think you are wonderful. No. None of us are. Right? Now, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Right? So trading Today, of course, there's money and business and all of these, but you know, there are many ways of trading. Can you imagine that? Gaining something for yourself to satisfy your hunger, coveting for something, right? So you can really see the commercial world is just as terrible, as dangerous, right? Today you take away religion and you take away economy in this world, what else do you have here? You know this Mason, the Illuminatis, what they say? Just for your information. You can be a king, king of England, or king of whatever. You can be a prime minister, you can be the president, or you can, the highest position in the nation, you can be that. I don't want to be that. But what I need and what I want is to control the money in the world. As long as the money is in my hand, all the kings even have to come down and bow to me. That's why the only trillionaire in the world is this guy sitting there in London. The asset is about 300 to 500 trillion. He's the only one. His name starts with an R. Because this is what the real source of power is. And power corrupts, and money corrupts. So don't underestimate commerce. I'm not saying that none of the saints should do business anymore, but be careful not to be swallowed up, not to have your heart hardened. And it's very subtle. You will not notice it. If you tell them you love money, they will say, no, I don't love money. Well, then give it to me. Why should I give it to you? How about give me half of your riches? Amen? Really? Only many of those foolish Christians will do it and give everything they have to the pastors. At the end, the pastors are so rich, they have their private jet in USA, they go everywhere in the world. And where does their money come from? And this happens so often in Korea. I was just there. Those pastors have so much power. It's a shame. They are going to be judged when the Lord comes, I tell you. Yeah. Right? So, we all need to wake up.
Yes.
We all need to wake up. These two things are dangerous. And if you ask me to, again I come back to that question, to define religion, Paul defined it as what? Having a form of godliness outwardly, but denying the power thereof inwardly. Outwardly we can act very religious and nice and wow, we're serving God and giving you a message. I don't trust in message. Forget about it. But we are for the reality, for the essence. Right? For the life in our experience day by day. This is why I come back to the matter of the priesthood. This is very important. So, it is not just an outward religious activities and so much religious work. That's why, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not do a lot of good works? All these charities, all these charities are tax-free, tax-deductible. If you're a millionaire, you should really start a foundation, otherwise you're going to pay a lot of taxes. All these, you think, wow, they have such a big heart. Yeah, they have. But you should see it's for tax purposes. So we need to see through things today. Religion outwardly is wonderful, but inwardly it is corrupt. Just like what Babylon is there in Revelation chapter 17, outwardly she holds a golden cup. Gold is good. Jerusalem is a city of gold. But the problem is, inside that golden cup is full of abominations. Full of abominations. And this is important for us. Don't just be for the outward. We have to be for the inward reality.
Amen.
We all need to do that. Right? Even in Isaiah, these people are so terrible, and yet they are praying, they are inquiring, God, what is your will? And God was angry. Can you imagine that? Look at the Pharisees. Look at the scribes. Look at the chief priests. Do they love God? Don't say no. They argue with you, and you tell people these guys don't love God. How can they be the high priest? The scribes, do they know the Bible? Huh? Better than you. Better than you, they know the Bible. Right. The Pharisees, they're a very fundamentalist group. Yeah. Unlike the Sadducees. So, hey, these are all a front. All a front. But they deny the power. After they preach here, what do they do afterwards? How do their lives look like? What is hidden in the heart? So we have to be afraid of Amnon, to beware of religion. That's why in Isaiah, and the Lord quoted Isaiah, these people praise me with their lips, even praising. Not cursing, okay? If somebody curses God immediately, you know he's not a Christian, definitely not. How about if somebody praises God? What do you think if somebody praises God? Oh, he must be a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And a good one too, otherwise he won't be praising God.
Right.
Yeah, you see, he agrees. He is so quick to say right. Right. I will say the same thing. How can somebody who doesn't believe in the Lord and doesn't love the Lord praise the Lord? And hallelujah. Amen. They must be really love the Lord, right? Right, you see, he agrees. But the Lord disagrees. So who is right? You or the Lord? So the Lord says, these people praise me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far away. How far? Very far. Very, very far. You're right. That is religion. And Sunday everybody is praising God. After they praise God on Sundays, they go to the casinos. Oh Lord. Right. This is Babylon. And at the very end in Revelation, let us turn to Revelation. It's good to know. What you do with this knowledge is up to you. You cannot blame me for not telling you, okay? Yep. Chapter 17, he says, come, verse 1. I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. The waters here refers to the nations. because Roman Catholics rule over the nations during the Middle Ages, even until today. So many countries are Catholics. Not just cities, but countries. The whole Latin America, Spain, Italy, Austria, many parts of the United States, right? Many parts of the world, the Philippines. They call it Philippines. Philippines. 90% at least Roman Catholics. Wow. This woman has a lot of power. Really a lot of power. Right? With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And then he carried me away in spirit. You have to see it in spirit, not just in your mind. Because if you just know this in the mind, after you leave this room, you forget about it and you won't care. You won't care. Right, because you're already very used to it. But if you are in the spirit and you see in the spirit, he was caught in the spirit or in spirit, it should not be capital S, it should be small letter S, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Yep, the beast was a scarlet beast full of blood, the color of the blood. Bloody beast, which was full of the names of blasphemies, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And this woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls. This is the mother describing, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And the name is Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abomination of the earth. She was a woman, a harlot. Now let me tell you one more thing. In the whole scriptures, God never calls the nations harlot because they have nothing to do with God. But he called his people who are fallen and going after the idols, that you become a harlot, a prostitute. You're supposed to be my bride. Now you are having relationship with all these kings of the earth, the world, and all the mixture. So in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, in Hosea especially, you can really see how my city has become a harlot. You right away in the chapter 1, right? The faithful city, Jerusalem, his bride, has become a harlot. So, this woman, if you ask me, where does this woman come from? Why all of a sudden in Revelation chapter 17 you have this woman? Where did it come from? It came from the fallen churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. They will not repent. The Lord warns them severely, but they will not repent. So if they will not repent, they become dead, they become lukewarm, they're joined with the world, become worldly. And then Jezebel was there ruling. At the end, he becomes this harlot here. That is why in Revelation 18 verse 4 it says, come out of her, my people. Right? So 17, it is talking about religion. But all of a sudden in chapter 18 it talks about commerce. Now all of a sudden Tyre and Babylon are joined together. Right? So here, if you continue to really see, beginning in verse 9, right? The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her. Why? Oh, because of the riches of Babylon. Roman Catholicism is very rich. People say at least one third of the wealth of this world belongs to them. Yeah. If you go to Rome and you can see just the art itself in Rome, you cannot pay for them. Leonardo da Vinci, you know how much people pay for that? Michelangelo? Huh? All those priceless paintings and all the gold and all the properties, the best, the most prime properties in Europe belong to them. You're talking about real estate. And then the money, they are probably one of the strongest investors in many industries, including weapon industries. They are talking about peace and they invest in weapon industry. Ah, isn't that wonderful? They are talking about peace, peace, and peace, and peace, and they invest in weapons for you to kill each other. And then they preach peace. Eh? How about that? And then it says here, yeah, standing at a distance for fear of her torments, and alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, in 1 hour your judgment has come. That means in the last 3.5 years that judgment will be quick. In verse 11, what did it say? And the Christians of the earth will weep. Ah, the what? Not Christian? My eyes is not very clear right now. What does it say? Grace. Merchants. Are you a merchant? Are you a merchant? Are you a businessman? If you're a real merchant, you're going to weep. Because you're going to lose everything. If you are a poor man, you won't weep. Because you will lose nothing. You have nothing anyway, so you won't weep at that time. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys the merchandise anymore. No more business. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, purple, fine linen, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, and every kind of object of ivory, kind of most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon. My goodness, there are a lot of business things here, right? Cinnamon and incense, fragrance oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, bodies, even souls of men. Yeah, of course. You know, this human trafficking today, you'd be surprised. It's a big business. It's a $1 billion business. Yep. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, so now, what is your soul longing for? Yeah, tell me. What is your soul longing for today? For God? It says to love God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind and even your whole strength. Yep. No wonder this judgment is severe, because God hates Babylon and Tyre because it has corrupted his people, destroyed Jerusalem. Yeah. And all the things that are rich, that your souls are longing for, and splendid, rich and splendid, have gone, disappeared from you. and you shall find them no more at all. Hallelujah. You're not going to find them anymore. No trace of them after the last 3.5 years. So why would you invest all your time and strength and everything on these things today? I'm not saying you should give up and live like a hermit in one of these convent or what do you call those places where the monk live? Yeah, right. So you can really see, right? No more, gone forever. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Oh goodness. Right? Oh Lord. And they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Alas, alas, verse 19, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. But verse 20, I like verse 20. Let's read it together. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Amen. God has avenged you. This judgment is on our behalf, because it has destroyed too much and too many among God's people. Yeah. And it will destroy you and me today if we are not careful. Right? So may the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. Right? Money is the evil money of unrighteousness, mammon. Right? In itself. But if you love this money, you may have it. But if you love it, it becomes a root of all things for you. A root of all evil. Right? To have it is one thing, but to love it is deadly. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right? So you can really see at the very end of the Bible, Babylon and Tyre now are combined together. And then it says in verse 4, okay, that verse is important for us to read. Let us read, all of us who are God's people, chapter 18, verse 4. Let us all read it, not just read it, but read it conscientiously. Read it from our heart. And read it for ourselves. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. Amen. So, come out of her, my people. Now, praise the Lord. Let us quickly go to C, just to finish the judgment of Babylon and Tyre. You may not know it, but now you know. Too many information. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 21, Babylon has another name, has a nickname. I call it a nickname. Many of us had a proper name, And a nickname. Do you have a nickname? Oh, no nickname. Oh, Charlie itself is a nickname. Charles is the proper name. Charlie is a nickname. So your name is already a nickname. No wonder you said no. Right? Charlie is a nickname. Right? Actually, it's Charles. I'm just joking so that we can all wake up. Okay. Yeah. It's called Marat Hayim, a Hebrew word. It's an Aramaic Hebrew word. Yeah, Marat Hayim. It means a double rebellion. It's a double. The word double is there because it's not just single, but double. Remember, at the very end, you can really see that tire and Babylon are very much related. Looks like twins. Right? So here it's another name for Babylon. Yes. How do you understand this? Double rebellion. Because one is visible and the other one is invisible. You only see the visible, but you don't see the invisible. What is more dangerous?
Invisible.
Yes. If you see a visible enemy, you can fight the visible enemy, right? You can punch him and pat, you can do anything you like. But if your enemy is invisible, how are you going to destroy him? Right? So many times we see the visible enemies, but we do not see the invisible enemies. And so many times we get into trouble because we only see half of it. We don't see the other half. Yep. That's why the name Marat Hayim. It's a terrible name. Right, terrible name. Because there is a visible part and there is an invisible part. And many times we are just dealing with what we can see. But then we don't deal with what we cannot see. That's why after you thought the trouble is over, then it comes again. Because you don't see the root. You see the outward problems, but you don't see what is behind it. When Peter was talking to the Lord, right? It was Peter talking to the Lord in Matthew chapter 16. Right? But what we don't see is Satan behind him. But the Lord saw that very quickly. That's why when Peter was tempting the Lord, even not intentionally, no Lord, you shouldn't go there and be killed. It was out of definitely good heart, right? You think Peter said it in a hypocritical way? I don't think so. I think Peter loves the Lord Jesus. What? You're going to Jerusalem to suffer and be killed and crucified? They even did not hear that on the third day he's going to rise again. They don't hear that. So, what does the Lord say? Peter, you didn't see clearly. Let me say it again. On the third day, I will rise again. He didn't say that. What did Peter say? Get thee behind me, Satan. So who is there? The visible Peter or the invisible Satan? What do you see? When you see a problem in front of you, what do you see? Huh? You see what you can see. Your eyes can only see what you can see. But the Lord can see through what we cannot see, which is the invisible principalities and powers. And this is where the dangerous Babylon is. You only see, oh, they are wrong. You only see the preacher talking nonsense. You only see, oh, they're just wasting their money there, and another preacher is pulling their legs. That's all you see. Right? And the people there sitting, they just like to hear a spiritual joke and laugh it off and go home, and that's it. But they don't see the invisible thing there. And this is where the danger is. You don't see. If you don't see what is behind the scene, you will fall into the trap for sure. It's one more minute. Yeah. And then you have the religious world and you have the commercial world. Again, it's a double. It's double. Right? You are being ruined religiously and then you are being trapped commercially. Yeah. Right. So you can really see this name spells trouble. That is why the Lord's judgment is double. Not just single portion, but a judgment to Babylon is a double portion. Oh, praise the Lord. God is really just. He knows. God knows how to judge properly and thoroughly. Right? To completely get it out of the way. And it's wise for us to come out of her. Come out of her. That's the first judgment. Okay? Clear? Well, I'm on time. Pray. Be wise. Don't take this only as a doctrine. You don't come out of it, you will be judged with it. Right? So, may the Lord save us to get these things out of our heart. I'm not saying you should quit your job, okay? Don't quit your job and don't close shop tomorrow, Benson, and saying, no, I don't want to be tired, I'm going to close shop tomorrow. No, that's not what I mean. But that shop is only a shop for you. Nothing more than that. Only to sustain our life and our living today on this earth. Yeah. And God will definitely take care of our needs. You don't have to worry. Yeah. So learn. Learn. I really pray that all of us will learn. Okay, may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
Do not misunderstand me. Don't go home and tell your dad, frankly, I'm quitting, I'm not working tomorrow, I'm not coming anymore. Why? Uncle John says to quit. Your dad will be after me. No, I don't mean that. But you have to be liberated. You are in the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
Yeah. You are in the world, but you overcame the world. Because greater is the one that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Paul did not condemn those who have money, but he told those who have money to use it wisely and to help those who are in need. Well, that's it. Not to give it to the pastor, no. Yeah. The pastor should go and take another job. Yeah. Because, hey, we are all the priesthood today.
Yes.
Yeah. That system of Nicolaitans God hates. So today, we need to know what it's all about and protect ourselves. Be wise. Praise God.
Amen.
Some prayers, eh? Short and more prayers, that'll be great.